Rewind is an award-winning insider's look at Wisconsin politics and public policy. Brought to you by Wisconsin Eye and wispolitics.com. To become a program sponsor, please send an email to rewind@wisi.org.
I believe united we stand, and we have common ground to find, and we're going to find it. We're not going to be
I'm Steve Walters.
And I'm J.R. Ross.
This is Rewind, a look at this week in the Capitol. First, Wisi was there. I asked the new Republican Party chairman, Andrew Hitt, why should President Trump again win Wisconsin next year? Representative Michael Schra asked a very personal question. How can more of us learn the signs of a potential suicide? Emotional testimony from the Green Bay Joint Finance Committee budget hearing, the last one of four hearings. And Governor Evers answers this question. How much do you weigh, Governor? Wisi was there. What winning themes will the president have in 2020, Andrew?
Well, I think absolutely the Supreme Court is going to be a winning theme again, promoting democracy and freedom around the world. A strong America will be a winning theme. People mm-hmm. care about that. They don't want to see America weak. And I think that's going to be a motivating theme throughout. I think economic prosperity will also be. We see the stock market doing amazing right now. I think those are going to be some of the themes that we see, and I think it's going to be a recipe for success.
So all of us are on the committee for different reasons, or we've requested to be on the committee. I had a personal colleague that committed suicide. I don't know if you went over this or not, but do you educate regarding the signs? So this individual, great guy, talked to him 2-3 times a day. I texted him the night before.
I'm sorry you lost him. We've lost too many in our state, and that's why you guys are assembled today, and that's why we need to do what we need to do.
Today I'd like to address two key points. First, the governor's claim of lowering the price of gas by 14 cents by eliminating the minimum markup is disingenuous. The bottom line is whatever amount you increase the gas tax, the price of gas will rise by that amount the next day.
Let me reemphasize our support for full Medicaid expansion. It is good for our members, and it is good for all Wisconsinites. Many of the good proposals in this budget come from funding provided by accepting Medicaid expansion. Let's do it. Let's do it now.
It's time to end the practice of detaining people for alleged convictionless rule violations. It's time to redirect resources to build communities. Invest in people, not prisons.
I would like to ask that you would look into the budget of our schools to reduce class sizes and increase the number of teachers and their pay. Teachers make us who we are, and to me, that's the most important job.
For those of you who voted for the voter's suppression, shame on you. And for those of you who voted for that lame duck session legislation, it's the most despicable, deplorable, and gutless partisan dirty trick I have ever seen. Thank you.
I don't agree too often with Nancy Pelosi probably on everything, but I think she's actually pretty logical there that I think I don't think moving forward with an impeachment process is productive in any way, shape, or form. I think what we see is people kind of talking to their base on the far left, trying to gin up their presidential ambitions by talking about impeachment. I don't think it's productive. I think most people that I talk to day in and day out want to see Congress focused in on key issues that are affecting them every day, not the partisan bickering that we get and that is so frequently on our cable TV news.
The question is, how many pounds do I weigh? And you'll be glad to know I weigh myself every morning, and I have done that for years because I want to make sure I stay relatively the same, and this morning I weighed in at 166.6 pounds.
Let's update on where the budget stands in the ledge. Mm-hmm. Now, the Joint Finance has held public hearings, Janesville, Oak Creek, La Crosse, and now Green Bay. They are done with public hearings. Mm-hmm. They have called before them the agency secretaries that have the most at stake, the most controversials. So Next, I expect Joint Finance is going to release a list of non-spending items that will be released, which will include legalizing up to 25 mm-hmm. grams of marijuana. But they seem to me, JR, to be on a faster track than we've seen in other years, and they definitely seem to be on a track to have their own, the Republican budget, by July 1. What's your take on the process?
Maybe. First thing about the policy items, as I always said, policy is in the eye of the Joint Finance Co-Chair. So depending on whether they don't define policy, they'll get that memo and then pull stuff out. But looking for votes, second week of May, maybe, you know?
Yeah, I think
which
so.
Is not that early. But I guess the question is, what do they get done ahead of time? I mean, these guys are going to work out where they're at or talk as caucuses, lay down some markers. So where are they at? What will they do out of Evers' budget? Will they basically, I mean, Alberta said they're not going to just throw the whole thing out. That's not the way to look at it. But they are going to start from base on some things and put their own imprint on these agencies. So how is that going to work? Yes, they get done by June 30th, but that's not really getting done early. I mean, the new fiscal year starts July 1st. If you were really fast-tracking it to me, you're done in early June.
Well, that's true.
But we're just used to it being late, Steve.
That's quite true. And it could be late again. some things they agree on. They agree on raising the pay of our public defenders. They seem to have some consensus on adding some additional ADAs, assistant district attorneys. So they can agree on some of the little stuff, right? Mm-hmm. But then eventually they've got to come back to the big stuff.
They have a unifying opponent in Evers. So in some ways, this might make the process easier for Republicans because where it was them arguing amongst themselves the last several budgets, now it's arguing with a common foe. So you can pull out the marijuana stuff that Evers put in.
Yep.
You can pull out the $600 million for special ed, do a smaller increase. You can pull out the $1.6 billion, you know, for K-12 education.
Which includes the $600 million for special ed.
You can pare those back. You can get rid of the 8-cent gas tax hike, although there's some split among Republicans about whether there should be a revenue upper for transportation, what that would look like. I mean, yeah. Joe Sanfilippo this week is talking about transferring more of the sales tax from car sales to roads. But if you take that money out of the general fund, remember, two checking accounts, general fund is where taxes go for sales, income, corporate, sin taxes.
Right.
Transportation fund, gas tax, registration fees, federal money. Whatever you take out of the general fund, which where the sales tax goes now, is less money for schools, Medicaid, government operations.
And that's a big ticket. Last time I looked at it, if you moved from the general fund sales from, as you just said, autos, trucks, and maintenance, and tires, and oil changes, and things like that, I think you're close to $400 million, which, as you said, punches a big hole in the general fund.
But those are options. I mean, they've got to figure out where they want to go, and can they get to get on the same page when it comes to transportation versus what Evers wants to do, the 8-cent per gallon hike right away, going to indexing, and they're appealing minimum markup. We'll see. Medicaid, you know, I'm not sure where they're going to be at the end. I mean, the leadership keeps saying they are opposed to the Medicaid expansion.
But the cost to continue on that is $350 million over the next 2 years.
So can they find some kind of compromise to draw more federal money or a different approach? Maybe. So lots of questions out there still about what they're going to get done.
Right.
You know, they heard from people. If you watch these public hearings, there was talk about more money for schools. There was talk about more money for Medicaid, you know, expanding the program. So those are things that Evers has said over and over. He won, which, by the way, is just an irritant to Republicans, having keep saying that. And the public is on his side. Mm-hmm. Now, Robin Voss has said in various forums that, look, you know, we have to stick to our guns. You know, we stick to principle on these things. And for 6 years, they've rejected the federal money to expand Medicaid and done this approach. So we'll see if they back away from or try and find a new method.
Okay, but here are some things that are not going to be in the Republican budget. Driver's license for undocumenteds, in-state tuition for immigrants who graduate from high school, minimum wage increase, and a redistricting commission. Anything else you want to add that ain't going to be there?
Oh, the pot stuff. There's a whole restoring prevailing wage. There's all kinds of stuff like that that's not going to make it in. And they'll take it out one fell swoop with that policy memo. Again, you know, you can define policy that Bob Lang at Fiscal Bureau will then take as his memo of these are the non-fiscal items in your budget. They'll list them according to what the definition of the co-chairs, and then one vote, all
they're
pulled out.
They're gone. Okay, so this is a good time to hear from our legislators on the Joint Finance Committee at the Green Bay, the final public hearing. This is how they framed up what JR just said, what comes next, potential votes, actually building a budget in maybe the second week of May. Let's go to that video, please.
So we're not going to go backwards. We want to work with Governor Evers to make this budget work, to live within our means and go forward, not backwards.
We'll put a budget forward that not only meets the priorities of the people of Wisconsin, but also lives within our means, as Senator Darling has mentioned, but also meets the what I believe are the priorities of the people of the state of Wisconsin. At that time, then there's an opportunity for us to, you know, to negotiate back and forth. I would say, actually, we've kind of made offers to the governor's office to begin negotiations. It's been somewhat rebuffed at this point in time, but as we move forward, we're hoping that maybe changes.
And personal care workers were really out in numbers to say, look, when we're getting paid less than people get paid to work at Walmart, we have a huge problem, and so many people want to stay in their own homes, don't want to have to go into nursing homes, and we had that initiative in Wisconsin to make that happen, but now we're finding we have a huge shortage of personal care workers, and we need to keep up with our salaries, and that's true not only for personal care workers, but for corrections and for our DAs and assistant DAs and our public defenders.
Governor Evers has very deliberately invested in the things that the people of this state want, K-12 education. We've had 8 years of neglect of K-12 education. I have 2 kids in public school. I have seen firsthand the struggle that they are going through. We are not even at 2011 funding levels for K-12 when you take into account inflation. We have key investment in healthcare. Imagine covering more people and saving $324 million in state monies. So this budget is a great budget. It makes the investments that people want, and it cuts property taxes.
I was with Governor Evers last night in Oshkosh, and he announced that right now, today, he is meeting with Republican leaders in the state capitol. So to say that the governor has rebuffed negotiations is not true. And the second thing is that negotiations require a solution to be offered. Right now, we're hearing criticism of pieces of the governor's budget from Republicans, but no solution. That's not negotiation. You can't just criticize and not offer a solution. And so we're waiting to hear what their plan is. The governor has started the negotiations with his proposed budget. He's offered a vision for where Wisconsin will be for the next generation. It's something that Representative Taylor and I and Democrats around the state strongly support. And we're waiting to hear what their plan is.
We talked about Foxconn last week. We've got to talk about it again, because in the middle of the week, Governor Evers released a letter to the Foxconn executive, Louis Wu, saying, at our March meeting, March 2019, you indicated that Foxconn intends to suggest several changes to the existing agreement. This was the first time either Foxconn or state officials had mentioned amending or changing the agreement approved in 2017. So this follows all the allegations that the state is trying to submarine and hurt the Foxconn deal. That's why the governor released this. Did the governor own the debate this week on Foxconn? Because it changes hourly, JR.
That's a good question, because both now seeing that letter, Evers wrote that he understood that Foxconn told both Senator Leader Scott Fitzgerald and Assembly Speaker Robin Voss
basically
the same day that they're looking to change the contract. Both of those gentlemen denied that.
Well, let's just read Mr. Fitzgerald's statement. Excuse me. I met with Louis Wu for 30 minutes, and there was no discussion about reopening up the contract for renegotiation, just general discussion about Foxconn's expansion and growth. And then allow me, JR, and the statement from Speaker Voss, if Evers wants to change the Foxconn agreement, the taxpayer protections need to remain. Go ahead.
This is what I made a bunch of calls about this week and asked people, like, what's going on? And this is kind of my conclusion. There is a nuance in business that is being lost in a political debate. And what I say that is that it's entirely possible, and again, trying to extrapolate from the conversations I've had, that Foxconn is looking for quote-unquote flexibility in this contract. But what does that mean to you versus that guy at the table versus that gal at the table? Right?
Meanwhile, they buy a building on the Capitol Square. Excuse me.
So Evers might interpret those comments as saying, okay, they want to renegotiate. Lawmakers are saying, no, they want to work with an existing contract. And Foxconn's not really saying one way or another, although its statement they put out late, I think it was Tuesday night, talked about the existing contract, working within that framework. But this all began because Governor Evers was asked last week about what was going on? All these things were happening last week. And he says, unrealistic, in his words. We're going to create 13,000 jobs. If Governor Evers had kind of sidestepped that question and just said, look, we're trying to make sure we hold, you know, what he said before, looking for transparency and accountability. We'll hold our feet to the fire on those things and left it at that. None of this happens. But because he says that, then it becomes the Robin Voss going on the radio and saying that Governor Evers is naive to say these things. You have Fitzgerald ripping him as well. Now we have this thing snowballing. And reality is, I don't know what's going to happen with Foxconn.
We don't know the next steps.
No.
No, we really don't. Nor do we know if there's any revisions to the contracts that were agreed in 2017. Can the WEDIC board do that alone, or do they have to bring it back to the ledge?
And Evers wrote in that letter that Foxconn's going to deliver a document to WEDIC with some kind of changes that it wants. Again, can that be done with this in the existing contract? Does that require a renegotiation? Mm-hmm. Or is there the power of the WEDIC board to do that? Can WEDC do it on? I don't know. But what I do know is that Foxconn missed its hiring goal in the first year. It is building something right now in southeastern Wisconsin. How many people work there is anybody's guess.
Yeah.
But they are moving forward with, you know, buying the building in Madison, having some kind of jobs fair or something down there before too long in the Mount Pleasant area to show that they're moving forward. What that's going to look like eventually, it may be 20 years before we know for sure what that thing becomes.
Right. And there was a pretty indicative video clip. Senator Carpenter asked a question of Mr. Hogan, and, well, we're going to give it to you in just a second. Mr. Hogan rebuffed it. Then Senator Carpenter made a follow-up comment. Let's listen to that video. Let's see that clip, please.
Do you know, has Foxconn at all approached either the governor or yourself about any type of modifications they might need in their contract?
I think enough people have commented on that. I don't need to.
I don't think that's appropriate for this meeting.
Yeah, and I don't comment, as you know, Senator, I don't comment publicly about transactions that we're involved in.
And I think it was portrayed in the media incorrectly that Governor Evers was trying to somehow sabotage the contract. I think there was more to it, and I was just a little disappointed about some of the comments I heard from our Republican leadership on the issue.
Next topic, JR. A group of Republicans announced a energy saying, a focus on renewable energy. Mm-hmm. They want to plant electric car recharging stations every 60 or 70 miles on the interstate. They want to use the Volkswagen settlement money. They say that, yes, Governor Evers' budget does include some of the same goals, but maybe ours is a better plan. They also want, let me get it right, $7 million per year for renewable energy rebates for homeowners who make energy savings investments. This effort was led by Representative Nyland. Is his whole caucus there?
I don't know. I know that there's some blowback from conservatives about the idea of spending money on these charging stations, which then Illinois tourists could come up and use to drive through Wisconsin.
But they would have to pay a small fee under this plan. Go ahead.
It's just, look, Governor Evers has a variation of this in his budget.
Yeah.
It's an example of Republicans saying, okay, this is an idea that we think we can make better. And again, where even something where they maybe have an area of agreement on, they're not on the same page. It's another example of that. We'll see what happens in the budget. We'll joint finance keep that provision. We'll see. But that settlement money from Volkswagen, if I remember correctly, has to go toward kind of these various, you know, it's got definitions of what it can be used for. This is one thing it could be used for, and they're trying to find a way to use it.
Do you think the settlement from Volkswagen came before this new lame duck law saying Ledge has to be consulted on how all these settlements are resolved?
That Volkswagen money was a couple of years ago?
Yeah, I think so.
Joint finance battle's passed. Sorry.
Before we hear from Representative Nyland, just to point out, an aide to Evers says if Republicans are finally ready to get serious about protecting our environment, the governor looks forward to having Republican support for his budget. Now let's listen to Representative Adam Nyland summarize their proposal.
Another one that I'm very excited about unveiling to you today is called the Clean Energy Corridor, where we're going to offer public-private grants to businesses to install electric vehicle charging stations near the freeway. So high-end electric vehicle charging stations that are going to connect the interstate system. A lot of it depends on how much of Volkswagen settlement funds we're able to utilize for this program. So the funding is going to come from Volkswagen settlement funds. We'd like to offer this program everywhere throughout the interstate system, so there's more certainty and opportunity for people to commute and travel with their electric vehicle.
Trivia question, JR. What is the Powerball significance of the numbers 16, 20, 37, 44, 62, Powerball 12.
Did they make that guy West Allis richer?
Yeah, okay. Slightly. He won that. The announcement, we have a law in Wisconsin, which we'll get to in a minute, saying that you have to come forward and be publicly identified. So a 24-year-old Manuel Franco of West Allis came forward, and when a reporter asked him, I think I'm related to you, meaning don't can't you give me some money? He said, I know how to say no. Okay, that's not why it's on this show. What's on the show is immediately after that, Assembly Speaker Voss and Representative Gary Talkin said we should change the law so Wisconsin Lottery Prize winners no longer have to be publicly identified. And then State Senator Democrat Tim Carpenter, Mr. Franco is going to take the lump sum payment of $477 million, which is a living wage. Mm-hmm. Are you related to him? I'm not either. Okay.
Pretty sure not.
That money, when you state income taxes on the lump sum payment, an upper of $36.5 million, that should be used on local road aids, given our transportation funding impasse. Any comments on any of this, my friend?
No, Carpenter's idea. I don't know if it's getting any traction. It's a Democrat proposing an idea in a Republican-led legislature, so don't hold your breath. With Voss and Talkin, it's good to note there'd be some exceptions to the privacy law. So you can still find out if you owe back taxes, child support, other settlements. And that makes me wonder kind of why this was in the first place. Maybe it's so you can't get away from your bills.
This law was written a long time ago, decades ago. It's okay. Congratulations, Mr. Franco. All right, let's move on. Special election, 64th Assembly District, anchored in Kenosha next week. The Democratic candidate is Tip McGuire, who won the primary. The Republican candidate is Mark Stalker. I just want to point out that this is the seat vacated when Revenue Secretary Peter Barker left. Before that, Democrat Jim Cruiser, former Assembly Democratic leader, had it. So the Democrats have had it for, I think, 25-plus years. You've been looking at some of the finances here. I haven't. So give us a financial update.
McGuire outraised Stalker about 6-1. In the most recent reported period, we basically covered about 4 weeks. Now, got to dive in the numbers to understand why it was such a big disparity. Part of it is that the Democratic Party of Wisconsin did call it an in-kind contribution. Mm-hmm. You do something for a campaign, and you're going to donate your time to it.
You buy the beer for a fundraiser. That's an in-kind, isn't it?
And this kind, yeah. You're doing, though, a ground game for him, but he also reimbursed the cost of it. So the money he spent inflated. Anyway, it's a sign of the investment Democrats are making in this seat. Now, Stalker's getting help from the Republican Assembly Campaign Committee. They put about $7,500 into his campaign in the last reporting period. There's more money kind of coming in post the deadline for this report. But what it illustrates is that there's some effort going on down there. I've been asking about, why? Because this is a Democratic seat. Evers did 56% in November. Baldwin, I think, got 61, something like that. However, Hillary Clinton did 52. So, and you look at the Supreme Court race from a couple weeks ago and the energy we saw with conservatives.
Yeah.
This is going to be the only thing on the ballot April 30th, a Tuesday. Nothing else to draw anybody out. So if you have a really energized base and one that's not, even in a seat that leans a certain way, it might make a difference. So could Stalker pull it off? Maybe. I asked people about the investment from the Democrats. Some thought it was maybe over the top, that it was a little bit much to be spending when you're talking about one assembly seat that won't impact the balance of power in the assembly. But still, even Republicans want it, it'd still leave you 2 seats short you need for an override in that chamber. But the psychological message it would send if conservatives win the Supreme Court race and then pick off a pretty decently Democratic seat not long after, that would send a message about not just their base, but the reception of the Evers budget.
Yeah.
Because Republicans made a big deal about what Evers is proposing. So this may be Democrats saying, we're not taking it for granted. We're going to make sure we go all out with this thing, make sure we snuff out any chance of that conversation and go forward. Much like, go back to last summer, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss and Senator Leader Scott Fitzgerald took two different tacks in the special elections in June. Fitzgerald didn't really invest heavily in that special election for the first Senate district. Mm-hmm. Democrat won, kept the talk going about a blue wave. Republicans won it back in November.
Yeah.
In the Assembly seat, Voss was a little more invested in that special election in a Republican-leaning seat, much like the Senate race was, but they won that seat, and there wasn't any talk about a blue wave in the Assembly. This may be about sending a message, but we'll see.
We'll talk about those results at next week's Rewind. Let's pause for a moment to remember former State Representative Ed Brooks, who retired after he got a bad diagnosis. He died on Tuesday. Apparently his leukemia came back. Farmer and chairman of Multi-State Dairy Cooperative for 18 years. Town of Reedsburg, supervisor and chairman. His name is still on the website as chairman. He was Republican state representative for 10 years. He was chair of the Assembly Local Government Committee. I just want to say this. Yes, he voted for Act 10, but I can't think of anybody in the Capitol who didn't like Ed Brooks. Any PSs on that?
No, I did a story about all the former lawmakers and where they were, what they were doing. Like in January, people left. And yeah, he told me he was still involved in town politics and about being town chair since the 70s. He kind of forgot when he started, actually.
It'd been 1979.
It's been so long.
I just want to read the tribute from Speaker Voss. Ed worked tirelessly for his district in rural Wisconsin. His long list of accomplishments include his work to help veterans and address health care and local government concerns. Ed Brooks made Wisconsin better. Our condolences to his family. Okay, stock picks.
So rising, so presidential visits. We had Cory Booker in town this week. Got Donald Trump in Green Bay tomorrow. I will be there if you want to follow me on Twitter for updates. Look, we've talked about this before, but there's some symbolism here with the Democrats, right? The blue wall, Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania. They got to rebuild it. Wisconsin's a key piece of that. Other symbolism, Hillary Clinton had to come here, right? Had between clinching the nomination and the general election. She didn't visit. She lost.
Right.
There's symbolism in Democrats coming here, like we're not going to let that happen again. For President Trump, there's also a reason to be here. He needs that blue wall to stay crumbled. He needs Wisconsin. You know, the chance of expanding the map beyond the states he won last time, dicey, you know. Where could he go? People talk about maybe Minnesota, Colorado, Virginia. Numbers aren't great there. So keep the ones you have. Wisconsin is a key cog in that endeavor. The Green Bay market is a key market for where he did well a couple of years back, along with the Wausau market. So that's why they're, oh, by the way, when you visit Wisconsin early, like these Democrats, you can make contacts with donors who then later on help fund your campaign.
Okay, and just two PSs on that. In the last Charles Franklin poll, Biden finished second only behind Bernie Sanders when Democrats were asked to list their favorites. Do I have that right?
Yeah, it's like who's a top
candidate? And he had not yet announced yet.
Yeah,
top
candidate, like a middle one, then like a bad one. He was like the second most votes for, you know, top candidate.
Okay, and then I wanted to look at how many votes Biden got in the 2008 primary, but he had already withdrawn because at that point it was between Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton. But just because we're a little bit wonky, he got 0.7%. Okay,
don't forget, Wisconsin, that we were like the near death blow for Ted Cruz in 2016, and we were like almost like a coronation of a Barack Obama. Though he won Wisconsin by such a margin in 2008, it became almost inevitable he was going to win the nomination, although it dragged on for a while after that.
Thank you. Mixed.
So Ron Johnson, so we've known for a few months now there have been rumors that he might do something. He might not walk away from politics in 2022. He said for a long time that he's going to run for two terms. Before the 2016 race, said this term would be my last if he won. Since then, there's been kind of rumblings about the new dynamic for Ron Johnson because of 2018. He's the only remaining statewide elected Republican, so that's a new dynamic for him, you know, like he's the last one standing. There'll be an open governor's race for Republicans, you know, open, you know, nomination process. There's been chatter about him maybe running for governor, maybe a third term, and while the rumor's been swirling for a while, he kind of brought that in the public eye a little bit more with a upfront appearance last week, and we talked about, it's a new dynamic. I thought Scott Walker would get reelected.
Yep, which I found a very intriguing statement.
So now what? Well, if you look at his fundraising, he's not fundraising like a person looking for a third term. But a couple caveats to that. One, he's got some dough. So if you wanted to, you could kind of jumpstart things with a personal check. And two, if you run for a state office as a federal candidate, under Wisconsin rules, you can't transfer your federal account or convert your federal account to a state one.
I remember that.
You're limited to the PAC contribution, which is $86,000 for governor. Not a small amount of money by any stretch of the imagination, but it's just out there now more in the public eye that Johnson's thinking, what are his options?
Looking at his political
What might
options.
He do?
Right.
Because, and also, 2020 may help dictate what he does. If Donald Trump wins re-election, does that impact his decision? Because midterm might not be a great environment for Republicans, if you have a Republican in the White House. That's the pattern we've seen.
Okay.
But if Trump loses and there's a Democrat in the White House, it's a good year for Republicans. They need watch those things. They could be really fascinating fields in 2022.
Okay, almost out of time. 20 seconds on your
Beverly Copper,
former UW-Whitewater chancellor.
A report came out last Friday after we taped the show about what happened with her husband, accused of sexually harassing, detailed up to 7 women up to 10 who reported being harassed, and that she had a quote-unquote blind spot to what was going on. You know, she already resigned December 31st from the position, but it adds more detail to what was happening on campus, which was kind of troubling to people.
Right. Okay. Trump here on Saturday, special election, 64th Assembly next week. I'm Steve Walders.
And I'm J.R. Ross.
And a reminder, please, you can subscribe to our podcast by going to iTunes, Spotify, Pocket Casts. You need our podcast. That's Rewind for April 26th.